chapter 37. We'll read from there in just a minute or two. I came across a book this week that I wanted to take some thoughts from. And the point of the book, throughout the different chapters thereof, is how to deal with the things in life that are just hard to deal with. The things that are difficult to swallow. The things that are difficult to move past. We've all felt those things in our lives. We could, though we're not going to, relate them to mountains to climb. We'll leave off that metaphor for tonight. But the reality is, and it's a harsh one, that we do face many of those circumstances, that going through them, we find them hard to move past, hard to get over, hard to deal with, hard to process, hard to leave behind, and not have it to affect the things that we do going forward. Now, really, everything that we experience does have some kind of impact and effect upon what comes next in our life, that is for sure. But it really is up to us, by the grace of God, to deal with the things that we experience and be able to use them to shape our lives, and God shaping our lives in a positive way, or a positive example to grow from, to strengthen ourselves from. We have experienced many of these type things that are just hard to get over. But the reality is we're not alone. Not only do we have each other tonight to identify with, to commiserate with, so to speak, and to gain strength or encouragement from, but we also find that we have many examples in Scripture of men and women that have dealt with things in their life that were hard to get over, hard to get past, hard to move on from. And we can see both positive and negative examples of how these things had an impact or effect on their life and time to come. So we want to draw from that depth of experience from the Word of God over the next few weeks to see some of these examples of how to deal with the things that are hard to deal with or that are difficult to move past and to get over, so to speak. Sometimes we don't deal with things as we should. We allow it to have a negative impact upon us for many years. The particular hardship that we want to think about tonight is what we might call injustice. Feeling or experiencing injustice is a harsh reality of life that we all have to deal with. It is certainly a constant companion. There are hurts that take place in our life that have happened over the course of time that were just simply unfavorable. That were simply things that we, in human terms, we could say, did not deserve. We could talk about that phrase, of course, and understand what it means. But in some form or fashion, we have all encountered injustice in life. We've all encountered things that have happened that were not favorable and that have caused us difficulty. Job remarked in Job 5 and 7, of course, that man is born unto trouble as his parts fly upward. We know his days are short, full of trouble. Even Jesus Christ, during his ministry, told his disciples, in the world you shall have tribulation. He told them and he said, you know, the servant's not greater than the master. They've hated me, they're going to hate you. And so we can identify with the fact that people, from time to time, may be unfair to us because of who we are as God's people. That may be to be expected. But there are other times in life where it doesn't seem to be because of that. It's just because of where we are in life. It could be a family that has done it to us. It could be a job situation, friends, relationships, business acquaintances, whoever it is in life. Injustices can come. Unfairness can come from just about any place. Now, tonight we may sit there and think, now is that really a big problem in life? We try to teach our kids, life isn't fair. You need to deal with it, get over it. And we all tonight would say, well, you know, we have that all the time, and it's not a big deal. But think in your life about times that you were wrong. Think in your life about times when somebody treated you negatively, or when a situation developed in what you would really think as an unfair manner towards you, towards your church, towards your family. And you think about those things and how hard they were to move past, how hard they were to get to where they were not holding you back anymore, or they were not negatively impacting your life anymore. As we look at Scripture, we actually find that injustice is woven throughout the Bible. Take Daniel, for example, in his situation as he was cast into the lion's den for simply praying to God in public, or in public view at least. We can definitely see that as an injustice as far as, as far as we look at it, he didn't deserve that. We can think and say that that was certainly unjust and unfair. What about David? Did he deserve the anger and the ire of King Saul to be against him? I mean, all David had done was slay the giant and then go on to be a member of his court and please him with song and all those things. Then eventually be a great warrior, slay thousands or tens of thousands, as it were, and lead Israel to great victories, and that caused Saul to hate him, want him dead. Was that a fair thing? Was that an injustice? Sure it was. That was something that David had to constantly deal with, of course, in life. Think about King Herod in the New Testament. During the days of Christ, what did he do? Just like back in the time of Moses in Exodus, he killed all the babies that were 2 and under. Think about those mothers. Think about what they experienced. Was that fair? Was that an injustice? Sure it was. That was something that they had to deal with for the rest of their life. Really, since the fall in the garden, injustice has been a part of our world. Since our birth, it has been a part of our lives that cannot be denied here tonight. You know, when you think about America, even our nation has been marred by its own injustices. For years, we turn a blind eye and even encourage slavery. The owning of another human individual is beyond our comprehension today to see them as property, and yet that's what our nation did for many years. You think about the way that the Native Americans were treated when our country was first being formed, and then all the way up until almost the 1900s when they were finally put into reservations and everything like that. It was really an injustice. We have been marred by that over the course of time, and there are certainly more examples of that we could bring out because it is certainly a very common thing to experience. And every one of us could tell you a story tonight. I mean, I've brought it up several times, but I could tell you a story about moving my family from northern Ohio to West Virginia to pastor and how that went. And what we experienced and all those things. And how that felt, in a sense, to be unfair, unjust, and how they dealt. I'm not saying how God dealt with me. I'm talking about how man has dealt with me in that situation. And certainly with you as well. You can experience that feeling of injustice or that feeling of inequity in the way that you go through life and the things that you have experienced. The question is why. We see it's a real problem. We all experience it. But why is that? What motivates it? What brings it into our life? What is it that causes it to happen? Why is it that unfairness exists? We could just simply blame it on sin. Of course, because sin has ruined everything. That certainly is the case. But as we're going to notice here in Genesis 37, people are unjust because they themselves have been treated unfairly. When you are treated unfairly or unjustly in all those things in life, and you very, very, very well maybe have every reason to be upset about it, one of the reasons could be because whomever has done the injustice to you, and again, we're talking about injustice as far as man to man, not God to man. We're not complaining about what God is doing for us or to us, whatever. When that happens, it could be because they themselves have experienced that. And that is something that is still driving them in life. Life just isn't fair. We say that a lot. And we find that in someone else's unjust actions they commit towards us, it often stems towards an unfair life or from an unfair life, from a background, from an event that has happened to them, And take the example here in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we are finding ourselves here at the beginning of the relation to us of Joseph's life in earnest. Notice here in verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his children, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. When we see this example, really this plays out to be one of the biggest family dramas in all of Scripture. As this scene unfolds, we often focus, of course, upon Joseph and upon what happens to him. He's sold into slavery. His brothers wrong him in a great way, and we'll get to that in a minute. What we don't often think about or focus on is why they did what they did. Why were they so unjust, unfair? Why were they so mean to Joseph? Well, to back up the statement we just made, it was because of what they themselves had already experienced. We see here in verse number 3 that unabashedly the Word of God tells us that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children. He loved him more. We've been teasing with our kids about having a favorite oldest daughter and a favorite youngest son and all those kinds of things, because there's only one of each of them. But Joseph loved Joseph more than all the rest of his kids. And that was something that was unfair. That was an injustice that had been done to Reuben and Simeon and Gad and Asher and Naphtali and Zebulun and the other 4 or 5 that eludes my memory right now. That was an injustice, right? We can all agree to that. A parent saying that I love you more than I love you is something that is very hard to deal with in life. And these brothers got to the point where they hated Joseph. It tells us that very clearly in verse 4, that they hated him and they could not speak peaceably of him. Why? Because Joseph was loved by Jacob more. It wasn't just in speech or in favors, but he had given him a coat of many colors, a coat that symbolized authority, that symbolized blessing, that symbolized that he was, in some way, a ruler over them. He sends Joseph out to watch his brothers and give reports. All these things add up to Joseph's brothers being, treated unfairly, in a sense, by Jacob. And there was no doubt jealousy that was inflamed by this. There was a great amount of difficulty. This was something that these brethren dealt with on a daily and ongoing basis that shaped and molded their life. And finally, they decided to take their action against their father's unfairness. And I really believe that what they did was not simply to hurt Joseph, but it was more directed at Jacob than anybody else. They hated Joseph, no doubt. So if they got rid of him, that would make their life easier. But in doing so, they would hurt their father that had hurt them for so many years. And we know in the end, Reuben stepped in and said, is this really what we want to do? All that kind of thing. He tried. But all the rest of them, that's what they wanted. They wanted to hurt because they had been hurt. They wanted to treat him unjustly because they had been treated unjustly. I mean, just imagine every morning as they saw Joseph put on that coat, how they felt. And it led them to act in a certain way, as injustice often does. It creates a vicious cycle. Children learn by example. They feed off of how they have been treated, and they themselves then will treat others unjustly, unfairly. Yes, life is unfair, but we should try to treat each other as fairly as humanly possible. We should try to be as kind, as compassionate as we can. And so when you're hurt like this, like these men were, they feel like, I have the right to treat somebody else unfairly. So a lot of times, when we are wrong in society, you'll hear the excuse, you know, well, he was brought up in a dysfunctional family, or she was, you know, treated unfairly in this way or that, and excuse is made for it. You can see it playing out here, right here in the Bible, in Joseph's experience, and we see it happening. Another reason why this happens in our life is people are unjust because perhaps they're simply not aware or not focused on God's master plan. They are not understanding of the fact that God has everything under control. Nothing has ever taken God by surprise, not even the unjust, unfair events of our lives. Those things are not unknown to God. But sometimes people don't think about that. Sometimes people don't realize that or understand it. When a person experiences injustice without that insight, without that knowledge, or without that focus on the fact that God has everything well in hand, and certainly has a master plan, they can easily become manipulative. They can easily get to the place in life where they will treat anyone around them in such a way so that they will make an outcome favorable for themselves. Go back to Genesis chapter 25. A biblical example of this is Rebekah. Now we know here in Genesis 25, verse number 23, she's carrying the twins that would become Jacob and Esau. And the societal norm, of course, was for the younger to be in servitude to the elder, at least in the sense that the elder would receive the birthright, the elder would receive the benefits and the blessings of the name of his father and all of that. But here in Genesis 25, in verse number 23, we see God turn that on its ear. And the Lord said unto her, that is to Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. When they were born, Esau was first, Jacob was second. So society would say that Esau would get the birthright, Jacob would not. But God had said something different. God said Jacob would be the one to get the birthright. Jacob would be the one to get the blessing of his father's name and all that went with it. Now we understand, we know the story here, as the boys grew and as time went on, Esau got closer to his father and Jacob seemed to be a mama's boy, so to speak. He stayed close to the skirt of his mother. He was close to her throughout his life. With each passing day, Rebekah stayed focused in thinking about that promise or that command that God had given that Jacob would be the one to receive the birthright. But the problem that Rebekah runs into here is that she does not recognize and understand that God has it all under control. She doesn't understand and realize that. When Rebekah looked around and realized or thought that God wasn't executing this promise, wasn't exalting Jacob according to her schedule, what does she decide to do? She decides to take it into her own hands. She begins to manipulate the situation. She allowed a root of bitterness to begin growing in her heart. That bitterness that was in her heart turned her and her affection turned her against her son Esau. Turned her to where she began to manipulate the situation. And so Rebekah consults with Jacob and says, here's how we can do this, Jacob. Your brother's going to be out hunting. Make some forage, as you often do. And then we can trick him into giving you the birthright. Instead of resting in what God had promised he would do, Rebekah and Jacob plotted to deceive Isaac, and we see that it works. Of course, Isaac was not able to tell the difference in his age. He was diminished in what he could see. And they tricked him real good. She manipulated the birthright away from Esau. And so the point here is that Esau was done a great injustice by his mother. Now, the birthright wasn't going to be his anyway, because God had said it wouldn't be. But the way that it was accomplished and what took place here caused a great deal of hurt and a great deal of injustice to be done unto him. Esau felt mistreated by his mother, and certainly rightly so. Instead of seeing the hand of God work, he saw his mother manipulating in the situation to steal away the birthright for his brother Jacob. I believe this also caused a root of bitterness to spring up in his life, and it had an impact on his life going forward. That was something that he would have to get over. And here's later, and it took a while. Him and Jacob were separated, and eventually they were able to come back together, the burying of their father, and different things over the course of time. But it was something that he had to deal with. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, but he sought it carefully with tears. What does that say in verse 17? It's telling us that it had a dramatic impact on Esau's life. And generally, Esau, of course, and his descendants are not remembered for good or for godliness, certainly not. And it had a great impact upon his life. And so then, when Jacob went on to live his life, this was the example he had. That his mother had loved one of her children, more than the other. So what does Jacob do when he gets to be of age and have his children? Eventually he loves one of his own children, manipulates in his life, and it causes a great injustice. We see, going back to Joseph's life, you'll go back to Genesis 37. This family had a great deal of injustice in it. You see, from the beginning of Jacob's life on through to Joseph, he's catching back up in his life. He's been sold down into slavery by his brothers, treated unfairly and unjustly. As we said, when you don't have an idea in your mind and a focus that God is sovereign and has a master plan, it's easy for us to manipulate. Would it be easy for Joseph to just follow in the family footsteps? Would it be easy for Joseph to treat others unjustly and unfairly, because that's how he had been treated? But when you remember that God is sovereign, you realize that injustice is not what dictates your path. Being treated unfairly, having injuries in the past, is not what dictates your path in life. You are in control, as the will of God and the strength of God will grant us the ability by His grace. You're in control of your response to that injustice and to your life thereafter. We see after Joseph was sold into slavery, we notice and understand in his life that the injustice didn't end there, did it? He was sold into slavery, the Midianites, eventually sold into Potiphar's house, and of course was there kept for many years in jail after things went bad for him there. But look at Genesis chapter 50 now. Many things have happened in Joseph's life. He was sold, went into work at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife wanted to lay with him and trap him. And he could have justified it. He could have said, "Here, Potiphar owns me. That's a great injustice. I should not be owned by any man. I'll get back at him. I'll treat him unfairly." by laying with his wife, but he said, no, I couldn't do this to my master or to my God. And he ran out and was faithful unto God, unto his master, and yet we see he lands himself in jail. Those that came in and promised to remember him forgot him for a couple years till he was elevated, of course, and brought out of that prison. And then notice here in Genesis chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. In general terms, we have two options of dealing with injustice. Option A, of course, is our natural response. That's reacting in the flesh. And allowing that then to shape how we treat others and just perpetuate the vicious cycle of injustice that's being done. Or option B, that is the spiritual response, which is what Joseph chose time and time again through his life. Notice here, Genesis chapter 50. You see his brethren falling down before his face. And verse number 18, they were afraid now that because their father had died, that he would exact vengeance on them. Notice verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph broke the cycle. He broke the cycle of injustice and inequity. He broke the cycle of hurt. And who would have blamed him? Who among us really would have blamed him if he had taken his life of his brothers? If he had treated him, if he had thrown him in jail, if he had done something to them to exact some sort of vengeance? Who among us in the flesh, in our humanity, would have said, no, he shouldn't have done that? But he didn't choose that response. He chose instead to break the cycle. He chose instead to move forward past the hurt and the pain and the injustice. And he said, no, don't worry about it. You meant it for evil. And that's true. Many times people mean things for evil against us. Even when they don't necessarily know that's what they're doing, they mean it for evil. And that's what his brothers did. But he says here, God meant it for good. God meant it for good, meaning that he understood God had a purpose, God had a plan, God was sovereign over all of these things. And he said, I will not exact revenge. I will not show or return evil for evil. But instead, I will have the spiritual Christ-like response. We need to recognize our responsibility in this to move forward past the hurt, past the injustice, past the things that hold us back, because they are reaching forward, grabbing a hold of us, trying to hold us back. Satan uses those every day. He brings those injustices to mind. He brings those things to our mind to try to slow us down, to try to turn us into bitter, vengeful people who just waste away in our own unhappiness. Let that not be the description of our own lives. And also, don't push this off and say, I don't have a problem with this. Because tonight, when you get home, you might be treated unfairly, unjustly, in a way that you never thought possible or you never saw coming. And you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to work through that, get past that, and in a way that will not cause you to return evil for evil. In a way that will cause you not to have bitterness in your heart towards those that have wronged you in the past. That you might be able to serve God in a very successful way. You know, our world often says you can justify doing wrong if you were hurt in the past. Let us not subscribe to that. Let us look to God for strength. Let us believe in His master plan and His sovereignty at work in our life. Let us see the hurts in our past and deal with them accordingly, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose, and not return evil for evil. And let us be able to move past those things, to be where we are and where we need to be today. Don't let it hold you back today for all the things you've experienced previous in life. And that certainly can be and is a very hard thing for us to get over. We need to refuse to get even. No matter how bad somebody has hurt us, God says, "Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will repay, saith the Lord." If that needs to be done, leave it up to God and his business. Move on. Don't allow it to grow up as far as the root of bitterness in your life. Because you don't just affect yourself. You affect everyone around you, your children after you, whoever you have influence over. You have a great impact on them. And so think about this. Think about how Joseph was able to overcome all of that injustice. Be used by God greatly. Is a great example to us of Christ today. I pray that's how our lives go as well, and that we might also be able to move past those things. Mark it down. We all have things to deal with that are hard to get over. We'll look at some more biblical examples of that in time to come as God gives us the ability to do so. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed tonight. Ask God's blessing upon the week that's before us.